One of my earliest impressions of religion came when I was 9 years old, and my family went to visit our relatives in a tiny little fundamentalist Christians who were bent on converting us. They were relentless, and I had never experienced anything like that before. I didn't really know what to make of it. But what surprised me the most was when these good Christian relatives of mine began saying derogatory things about black people and even about our family because we were Yankees who had moved to California. I thought to myself, wait a minute, I thought these were religious people. How could they be saying such mean things? Didn't Jesus teach us to love one another? Well, that was an early experience that stayed with me. And it took a while for me to find my right place. Of course, I did. And when I was 25 and I found Unity, I think part of the attraction was that this was not only a place where other people thought the way I did, but they put a very focused attention on walking your talk, around doing the work, around not only knowing these spiritual principles, but living them. And it's not only knowing that Jesus said love one another, but actually loving one another. Now, this is expressed beautifully in Unity's fifth principle, which basically says that it isn't enough to know the truth, it isn't enough to know these spiritual principles, we must live them. One of the things I love about Unity is how hard we work at living them. We really mean this. We're on it. And when you think about it, the first four principles, you know, we've been covering the five principles these last several weeks, the first four principles are actually the prelude to the fifth, in the sense that the first four are really about changing consciousness. Changing our consciousness, the way we see things, the way we think, and the way we orient ourselves in this world. So let's just do a quick review, since today's the last in the series. First principle, God is absolute good and everywhere present. So we debunked the idea that God is an old man in the sky, watching us and judging us and meting out rewards and punishments, but rather God is an energy of love and goodness that is everywhere present. We feel it today, don't we? It's powerful. Principle number two is that human beings are, in essence, divine. As we say here, we're spiritual beings having a human experience. Our third principle, human beings create their experiences by the activity of their thinking. Remember, we said what we think about, we bring about. As we think in our own minds, we create that reality for ourselves, and we can change our thinking and change our lives. And then our fourth principle, prayer is creative thinking that heightens the connection with God mind and therefore brings about wisdom, brings forth wisdom, healing, prosperity, and everything good. And if you recall, we talked about prayer not just in a formal sense, but prayer being whatever means you have of communing with spirit. It could be being in the silence, it could be meditation, whatever it is that takes you out of this limited reality into a sense of the absolute. And then our fifth principle that we're talking about today, knowing and understanding the laws of life, also called truth, are not enough. A person must also live the truth that he or she knows. That's a lot to remember, those five principles. So let's try to simplify them, and then I'm going to give you a way to remember them. The first, God is absolute good and everywhere present, we can remember simply by saying God is. God is. Second, human beings are in essence divine. I am. Third, we create our experiences with our thoughts. I think. Fourth, we connect with God mind through prayer. I pray. Knowing the truth is not enough. We must live it. I act. God is. I am. I think. I pray. I act. Let's practice. Together, God is. I am, I think, I pray, I act. Again, God is, I am, I think, I pray, I act. Give yourselves a hand. You're going to remember that now, aren't you? Good, there'll be a quiz later. That fifth principle that talks about how we behave, about putting our consciousness into action, is sometimes interpreted to mean that we are being told to go out and change the world, that we're being told to go out there and take action in the external realm. Actually, the fifth principle doesn't really say that. It may lead to that. But the principle itself, the fifth principle, is really more about being than doing. It's really more about being in a higher consciousness that then informs whatever we choose to do. We may, in fact, choose to get involved in social issues, or we may not, but the important thing is, what consciousness are we living from? What consciousness are we living into? You know, people don't always realize that Charles and Myrtle Fillmore were very specifically focused on helping people transform their lives and shift their consciousness. A lot like Jesus in that regard. Change your consciousness. They were not so interested in stirring people or spurring people to go out and take action about the issues of the day. In fact, they never did take specific stands on the social issues. But consider this. When Charles Fillmore was leading Unity, he was in charge of it during the Great Depression, the bombing of Pearl Harbor, the rise of Nazi Germany, and also the increasing energy and stress of racial strife. And Charles Fillmore never expressed any moral outrage or any call to action on any of those. It's just not where their focus was. Rather, what they focused on was continuing to have faith in God, the power of prayer, and the unwavering belief that all will come out for good. You can see the value in that in terms of lifting consciousness, and indeed those very thoughts, those very principles are foundational in Unity. Faith in God, the power of prayer, unwavering belief that all will work out for good. And yet, in this day and age, within the Unity movement, we want more. There is a restlessness, a feeling like, okay, we get our consciousness right and we get aligned. Aren't we here to be the hands, the feet, the voice, the love, the heart of God and expression? How can we be more interactive? How can we make a bigger difference through our giving and our service to the world? And so there's a rising call within Unity for what is called spiritual social action. Spiritual social action is simply taking steps and getting involved in ways that reflect our deeply held spiritual beliefs, our deepest values. So it can be anything from reaching out to help disadvantaged populations to being a part of a peace event, to advocating gay rights, women's rights, human rights, civil rights. It could be anything from collecting school supplies for children who otherwise would not have them, to figuring out ways to help immigrant children be reunited with their families. And by the way, if anybody knows of something that we can do to help in that regard, I would love to know about it. You see, spiritual social action is where spirit leads us to be more loving, to recognize the inherent worth in every single person. To walk in our talk is really about living in integrity. It means that our words and our actions are aligned with spirit and what we truly believe. And as I said, we may or may not take direct action related to that, but if we do feel called to get involved in spiritual social action, there are three guidelines I believe we can follow. And the first one is, before we do anything on the outside, do some work on the inside. Positive change begins within. So take the time to examine your own consciousness and figure out where you're coming from. You coming from ego? Coming from your spiritual self? Are you out there trying to win or prevail or trounce or conquer or oppose? Are you out there coming from a higher awareness of the best scenario for all involved? Are you coming from a place of love? And the second thing is to be very mindful that we are advocating for what we're for rather than what we are against. This is so important, but it can be very easy to do, to get caught up in what we don't want. When in reality, as we learned in Principle 3, whatever we focus on expands. If we focus on positive or negative, it's going to expand. So if we focus on what we dislike, we're actually empowering it. Rather, focus on what we do want. Be one of the voices, one of the visionaries that leads us to higher ground. And the third thing that we can do is, no matter what we decide, no matter what action we do or don't take, maintain a very positive vibration, just like you feel when you come to this place. It's a very positive vibration. In fact, I believe Christ consciousness that we are growing into is the highest vibration. It's a high vibration of love and compassion. It's that sense of unity and oneness with God and with all of life. It's what the world needs from us right now. Never underestimate the power of your own vibration, your energy, your presence. You know, ultimately, what you emit in terms of your energy and your love will influence more people than any single picket sign. Although picket signs have their place. So we can be mindful about how we take spiritual action, or whether we take spiritual action, social action, but do it in alignment, do it in integrity, centered in God. You know, living the truth we know, as is expressed in the fifth principle, will show up in as many different ways as there are people on planet Earth. The way that is right for you may not be right for me. What is right for me may not be right for you. But I can tell you this, from what we've seen today, what I've experienced in this community, particularly today, I'm very excited to see how our young people and the next generations live the truth they know. They are coming on strong. It's beautiful, and it's very inspiring. But they need our help. They need us to not only encourage and support them and give them those opportunities to speak their truth, but they also need us to do our part. So I love this sign. This is one that Ava Joyner held up when she went to a demonstration in favor of environmental protection. Do not leave this puzzle for us to solve. You see, we all hold a piece of the puzzle, and Ava, thank you. We all have a role to play. However small the step may be, or however large, let spirit be your guide. And if you ever feel some confusion or, wait, I'm not sure what is mine to do, I encourage you to look to our way shower, Jesus, as your example. Look to how he influenced people. Look to that vibration that came from him. Can't you just imagine what it would have been like to be in his presence? To feel that energy of love and compassion. But he went even further than that. As it says in Matthew 25, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. You see, we're here for each other. We need each other. So let us live the truth we know, the truth of our oneness. Let us live in the light of love. With that, I'd like to introduce the wonderful Dennis White, who will lead us today in our meditation.
Good morning. I just wanted to share something with you before the meditation. When these flip-flops were given out, a lot of you said, probably like myself, nice little trinket, insignificant, but maybe I'll give it to my kid or something. But do you notice what happened when you exchanged them? Did you feel the love, Did you feel the energy? Did you feel the transference? And that's what love is about. If you can't give it, it doesn't mean anything. And there was an exchange of love. And that's why I'm going to wear it on my finger right now. So I just want you to get settled. Just relax. Release any tension you might be feeling. Get in sync with your body. Relax your shoulders, your arms. Just take a deep breath. Hold it in, that life-sustaining force, and exhale. Take another deep breath, and just exhale. Feel that God energy residing in us all. There is only one power, one presence in the universe. God, the good, the omnipresent, God, the omnipotent. Thank you, God, for being able to live and breathe and have our being consciously aware of your love. At this time, we bring to mind any care and concern that may be troubling us. And we ask, Great Spirit, that we have the power to let go and let God and release these challenges to the universe to work out a divine resolution. And we claim it. We claim the challenge already being resolved. As we are made in the image of God, we can do anything. One day someone told you a lie. They told you that you couldn't. But the truth is, they couldn't. Live your truth. You can do anything through the power of God that strengthens you. Just look within and listen to that still small voice, that still small voice, that you will be open and receptive to God's guidance as we go into the silence. Having been nourished, having been fed, we return to the here and now. We say, thank you, God, for Unity Renaissance, for loving us, accepting us, and appreciating us just the way we are. Thank you, God, for this moment, the I am that I am, as we go forth to manifest your will in everything we see, everything we think, everything we say, and everything we do. Thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.